Hey guys, welcome back to another interview for my podcast, Icebreaker. This is our first fully guest-hosted episode with Sophia and Lulu from Covalence Global, which I'm very excited for you guys to listen to. If you haven't heard already, we did a youth climate change conference back in August of 2022 with Covalence Global. It went pretty well. It was a three-day conference. And if you want, you can check out the recordings on our website at on icebreakerpodcast.card.co. If you'd like, and also be sure to follow Covalence on Instagram at Covalence Global. And let's get into the episode. Super excited for you guys to listen to this. So we're going to be talking about youth networks and their importance in activism. Hi everyone, my name's Sophia and I'm the co-founder of Covalence Global. Thank you so much to Icebreaker. We love partnering with you on the Youth Climate Change Conference, and we're really excited to have this guest-hosted podcast interview.
Yes, we are very excited. Thank you so much for partnering with us.
All right, Lulu, would you like to start by telling us a little bit about Covalence Global, your goals, and introduce yourself? Yeah.
So Covalence Global is a youth organization that is creating a youth network that spans five continents, and we like to focus on the global part of Covalence Global. So we're all about reaching out to people in different places and really connecting, because everyone has different experiences. So we're just creating a network that people can learn on each other and bounce their ideas on and off. Our goals is probably to connect people and to foster covalent bonds, really build a community where people can bring each other up and really talk about environmentalism. And last, my name is Lulu. Sophia, do you have anything else you'd like to add on?
Sure. So my name is Sophia, as I said, and Lulu and I were former classmates. As she said, our goal for Covalence is to create a dynamic work hub for the Earth's future climate change leaders. We do this, going into the more specifics, through action-oriented projects, events, and journal articles. And we also have a board that is supporting us through these goals.
Covalence has always had a very interesting journey. We used to be a beach cleanup, and now we're into a large youth organization. Sophia, could you tell us more about this journey and the steps you and I have taken?
Yes, thank you, Lulu. So I founded Covalence San Francisco, which was initially a locally focused beach cleanup organization. And it was very, very small, just around 10 members, and we would clean the beach every weekend. We ended up picking up around 500 pounds of trash, but we wanted a more global vision. And at that time, Lulu was an executive volunteer helping with our social media and outreach. And we decided that we wanted to found Covalence Global. We wanted to expand our mission to people across the world. So Lulu, do you want to talk about how our experiences have shaped our work?
For me in particular, I really think, especially like experiences, they really make me learn more. And I think with Covalence Global, we learned about like keeping our members active and really including them in our group, because we didn't have enough events and like interesting components that really grasped them and made everyone join. But I think we've learned a lot. And so we've had conference, we've already had a three-day webinar series. I think that really kept them active. We post like fluently on our Instagram with very, I think, pretty cool posts and reels. We have, Sophia is actually doing a journal, which is really good. You should check it out on our website. She also coded our first website, which I think is really amazing. So I think we've definitely learned a lot from the beginning, but I think when you're creating something, you're always gonna learn and grow.
Yes, adding on to Lulu, I think that we've grown so much and we've been able to connect with people across the world from places such as Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, the Philippines, Sri Lanka, India, and then several US states, and we're always looking to grow. I think one of the things that sets Covalence apart from other youth networks is that we are very, very action-oriented. even if we have an event like the Youth Climate Change Conference, we're always looking to take what we learn and bring it to the real world and take action. So right now, one of our most recent projects is we're creating an environmental education program for youths across the world. And we're using one of our youth network members' and board members' work, Daniel Enoch Manoba, who is from Accra, Ghana, as an example for how we can increase the education of youths in climate action. Do you want to talk about why education is so crucial to promoting climate action? And going off of this, what is your personal definition of climate literacy?
I think that education is so important because for a lot of people, they don't really learn about climate change and what the impacts are until high school or college. And I think that is not really good for our Earth, because the sooner you learn about it, the quicker you can take action, and the more time you have spent caring for the environment and being cautious of the choices that you make. So I think it's really important to learn about it young and really like have these fundamental skills and ideas about how to care for the environment from a young age compared to when you're an adult.
I agree with you 100%. And I think that my personal definition of climate literacy would be just being very well read about climate change, understanding the fundamentals of climate change, and being able to communicate them effectively. And I think that as time goes on, climate change becomes more and more complex because all these policies are coming out, more innovations are coming out, more ways we can view it economically are coming out. And so being able to keep up to date with the news and climate change is crucial to being well read and being climate literate.
Yes, I totally agree with you. How do you think that education can promote youth activism?
Well, I definitely think that across the world, there are so many incredible environmental leaders out there. And I think that many of the leaders have had the benefit of being educated about climate action. But there are so many people out there who could be amazing youth leaders, but aren't in the environment where they can learn about these crucial issues. So it is so significant that we're able to distribute the importance of climate action across the world. And that's why our youth network is so valuable, because we're able to promote these leaders as platforms spanning 5 different continents, as Lulu said. Is there anything you'd like to add, Lulu?
No, I think you're being really true about it. I definitely agree with you about just having a leveled playing field so that everyone can learn about this and everyone can become their own youth activist when it comes to climate change.
Of course. So, Lulu, what distinguishes youth activism from being performative versus actually causing significant change? Why is it so important to make sure that activism through social media isn't performative? And how can this be possible, especially because you're our social media manager?
Well, I think when it comes to like causing significant change, you really have to be passionate about the topic that you're interested in, because if you're not, you know, you can always make up things and fake it, but if you're actually passionate in it, you care about what you are sending into the world, you care about what you're the message that you're sharing, and you care about being honest and truthful. And I think that is really important in youth activism, especially in climate change, because there are so many like fake things that are going on and people using like climate change to promote things. And I think, you know, we shouldn't really like take advantage of something that's so serious. And to answer your second question, I think it's super important to make sure that activism through social media isn't performative, because social media is such an influential thing, and I think it can influence tons of people, hundreds of people, thousands, millions of people have it around the world. And so, you know, you see one thing, you're going to believe it. Like, so I think it's really important to have accurate and true things on social media, because someone might see it and someone might not know. They might not know that this is not true, so they'll take it real. And, you know, I just don't really think that's a good thing to do. And I think how we can make it possible is, like Sophia said, understanding climate change and really taking action and, you know, discussing this with, like, if you have a youth network about something you're not sure if it's true all the way. So do you have something to add?
Yeah, adding on to you, that was really spot on. And I think that adding on to what Lulu said, what distinguishes Covalence from other youth networks and organizations is that we really care about taking action. And so I think that's really what distinguishes something from being performative and something that actually causes significant change, because we can have hundreds of events discussing ocean conservation or environmental education or youth activism, but what really distinguishes us is that we're always working to take what we learn in these events and our journal articles and bring them to life.
Okay, so moving on to the next question. How do you think building youth networks through an online platform instead of an in-person has allowed more accessibility within the climate activism field?
Of course, I think that having an online platform is so transformative because we are able to be Zooming in with people from a bunch of countries in Africa, from the Philippines and India and Sri Lanka, and then states all across the US. And that's so, so important and vital to our organization because it really helps us satisfy that global part of our name. We're always working to be including people across the world. And so having an online platform has allowed us to connect with so many new people. Is there anything you'd like to add, Lulu?
Yes, so just like during our climate change conference, I'm pretty sure Iris talked about it, but about how people with disabilities usually or sometimes can't go to a protest, they can't go to a public thing that's filled with crowded, maybe they have a wheelchair, you know, there's a lot of things aren't accessible with not being online, but we are online, so you can do this anywhere. You can be comfortable, it's entirely accessible. All you need is any type of laptop device and you're joined our network. So you can connect with people. And so it's accessible for anyone, just like Sophia said, anyone around the world, no matter what your disability is, you're always gonna be welcomed. So I think that's definitely an upside to Covalence Global's online network.
Yes, and double adding on to that, I guess, I think that one of the things that Covalence has struggled with is that some people don't have the internet accessible as much as others. And our organization is like a little over a month old. So that's something that we're definitely going to be working on. And then Lulu, how can current teenagers and those in school get involved with activism at both regional and national levels?
Well, I think you can start off really simple. Maybe there will be an environmental club at your high school, middle school, college, doesn't matter, where you can just talk about issues and inform people from your school about what is going on. You can teach other people about climate change. I think that's a really good place to start. You can also hold protests, create your own Instagram, a website, a blog, and just inform people. I think education is so important because you can just tell your friends about it. Like, there are film contests if you're more interested in the arts. There's also art contests where you draw a picture that represents climate change, and you just really write an essay about it, paragraph, something like that, and you submit it, and then, you know, you could win. And I think that's definitely one way that you can get more involved in climate advocacy. Anything you'd like to say, Sophia?
Yes, those are all great options. I started my interest in climate change through these film competitions that my sixth grade science teacher encouraged us to submit in. But on the international level, you can join Covalence's youth network. We currently have 62 members, I believe, and we span 5 continents, and over 45% of our youth network has bachelor degrees.
Go join. Sophia, why do you think it's important to build a youth network within activism? And to add on, a couple more questions to add on, how have these networks helped you personally? And do you think that connections and partnerships have helped you succeed further with building your business for youth network?
In terms of youth networks within activism, I think that youth activism is so, so crucial to activism as a whole, because youths bring this very fresh and driven perspective and mindset to our worlds. We understand that climate change is something that we'll have to live through, and that the many generations that come after this, after us, is something climate change is a challenge that they will face. So I think that empowering youths is incredibly important, because we need to be training and bringing together the next generations of youth leaders. And I think these networks have helped me personally a lot, because I think that I've just been able to gain a much more global perspective on the world. We are from the US, so it's really amazing to be able to connect with people transcontinentally. We've been able to have calls with people from Ghana, Nigeria, and Kenya, from the Philippines, and just across the world. So it's amazing to have those opportunities. And I think that using connections and partnerships has definitely helped Covalent succeed with building our own youth network, because our youth network is kind of a combination of many different communities across the world. And so we were able to reach out to people that I know from fellowships or internships, people I know from community forums, and it's great to just bring together all of these people. Lulu, is there something you'd like to add?
No, I think you covered it all.
Amazing. So, Lulu, what do younger generations offer to the fight against climate change, and how can our youth be used as a weapon against this impending crisis?
Okay, so for the first part, I think that youth can, the new generation brings new ideas. It brings new, like, thoughts and opinions and beliefs. So I think that brings a new opinion and perspective on the whole climate change, climate change problem. So I think that's definitely something new. We always knew new ideas coming. And climate change is really hard to tackle. So just coming up with new ways that you can slow it down and reduce it, I think, is super important. And to answer your second question of how can youth be used as a weapon against this crisis, I think just networking, just like what we are all about, in connecting and working together as a youth, since we're all youth, we all have something in common, and just using all of our powers and all the opportunities and privilege that we have, and use it against climate change, use it to end climate change. Because if we're in this together, I think it's definitely much easier to end this crisis than if we're all separate. Anything you'd like to add, Sophia?
That was a great explanation. And I think that adding on, covalence really works to reinforce what Lulu just said. We're really working to be able to bring together the next youth leaders and to have a space where people are included and they can share their ideas.
And question with a little bit of a different topic. What are three movies you'd recommend to my audience, to Anya's audience, and why?
Lulu, do you want to start by talking about the amazing film that the Environmental Education Fund helped us screen at the Youth Climate Change Conference?
Yes, I would love to talk about Chasing Coral. I think it was an amazing movie. It was definitely showed me a lot more about coral bleaching and about how quickly coral is getting affected. Like, coral is below the ocean. It's down. You don't really see it a lot. You know, it's not the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of climate change, but this movie really, really showed me about all the impacts and how hard climate change is getting a beating when it comes. Do you want to talk about the other two?
Yes, I think what you said was spot on. Chasing Coral was kind of a microcosm of the whole climate change crisis, because seeing the coral get bleached was kind of a representation of our Earth as a whole, and how there are so many ecosystems that are currently being degraded. And two other films that I would suggest is City of the Future Singapore, which is part of National Geographic. And it was amazing to look at all of these technological solutions. It was one of the films that really sparked my interest in climate action technologies. And then also 2040. It's still on my to-do list to watch, but it focuses on the hopeful NIST and the solutions, again, of climate change.
I have one more to add really quickly. Sea conspiracy, something like that. I watched it last year and I thought it was really interesting. It talked a lot about overfishing, which isn't really talked a lot about. And it did like a deep undercover. It's very good. You should watch it. Okay. So last question, what are three books you'd recommend to your audience and why?
Yes, so three books I would recommend is one, How to Avoid a Climate Disaster by Bill Gates. I love that book because it focused on the technologies, the policies, and the economics behind climate change. A really good book to get a basic idea of the crisis. Also, The Carbon Footprint of Everything. It's not a book I would read front to back, but it's definitely a book that just helps me get a numerical sense of how different things emit different amounts of carbon. And then finally, A Terrible Thing to Waste, which is on my to-do list to read, about environmental racism and how the people who are contributing the least to the climate crisis are on the front lines of its impacts. Anything you would like to add, Lulu?
No, I think those books are all really good and they're also on my to-do list. I just want to say before we leave, thank you so much, Anya and Icebreaker, for letting us take over your podcast for a day. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram is Covalence Global, and on LinkedIn. We also have LinkedIn and we add lots of events. And also you can check out our new website, which is super, super cool, and register for our new event that's coming up.
Yes, our new website is in our Instagram bio, so you can check it out there. Again, our Instagram is Covalence Global, Covalence, no space, Global. So that is mostly it. Thank you again, as Lulu said, to Icebreaker. This was amazing, and we're so thankful for this opportunity. We hope you can get involved with Icebreaker and Covalence more.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to follow Covalence on Instagram at Covalence Global. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to check out my Instagram at icebreakerpod.podcast. Also, check out our website, icebreakerpodcast.card.co, for any other information about our work with Covalence Global and any other partnerships that are going on. Thank you to Sophia and Lulu for sharing your time and contributing to such a fun, chill, and informative episode. And that's all for today. Have a great rest of your week.